visit with Aunt Charlotte. In the great formerly great state of Maine. It's mm-hmm. rapidly being demeaned. How are you, young lady?
Well, I'm fine. Oh, my goodness, you usually talk a lot more before you
All right. Now, one of the things I was going to ask you is, I am a little, but that's okay. It's tiring out there.
Maine is really, we never miss a beat. One of the big schools in near Portland, of course, just announced it's going to be ultimately converted into a community school. But they're building a big community type building that will house, you know, all sorts of services, which ultimately will be lifelong. And that's actually part of the article I wrote at my blog. I hope people will go there, deliberatedumbingdown.com, which relates to the future of America while we all focus on, the circus going on, run by both parties. And we'll get into that. But the future really is a totalitarian police state. That's what we're looking at.
Bolshevik communism.
Absolutely. And so that's why they've got us all... fixated, including myself, I have to take blame there, on what's going on. But I really do enjoy it because both parties are working, they're working together to keep all of us occupied while they fine-tune the last little essentials, dot the I's, cross the T's, on the dictatorship that will be going in. Now, everybody's saying, oh, what, really? Huh? Well, I don't blame them. American people are busy, they're sick, they're this or that, and certainly dumbed down, I have to say that. But I do believe that this is what we've been going through for now, how many years, three, with this Trump investigation. It's quite brilliant. They had to have something to keep us occupied while they do their dirty work. Oh. I always say that.
Bread and circuses. And it's moldy bread at that.
They're sitting up there, all the key players, Republicans and Democrats, right? Working together, like Quigley said in Tragedy and Hope. He gave the great history of how they were going to put in the global system. And, in page, 1245 of that magnificent book of his, Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley, he's the historian for the Council on Foreign Relations. And he is a globalist, but it's amazing what he says in that book, because he really does explain who these creepy people are. So they're up there fine-tuning, both right and left together, Heritage Foundation, and then you've got Brookings, and you've got Carnegie, and all of them talking with Rockefeller, blah, 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 go on, how they're going to put this thing in together. As Quigley said, the industrialists met in the late 1800s, smoking their cigars and drinking their cognac. And they said, well, the way we're going to get it, they're all globalists, of course, and both parties have to be the same at the top. So they decide on, this time around, they decide they can have Trump run. And, who did he run against? I forgot. Who did he run against? Clinton? Who was running against Trump? Do you remember, Jeff? I can't even remember.
Hillary.
What?
Hillary.
Nobody?
Hillary.
Oh, no, that's what I thought. I thought so. Hillary.
Yeah.
They have, both of them have been selected by the insiders. And as Quigley said, the industrialists said, we will determine both candidates. We will decide the Republican and the Democratic candidates. And this is Quigley with CF,
of course.
Council of
Relations. Wait, how many years ago was that book written?
50? He wrote that book. Yeah, about that 40. He wrote that book and... He was a globalist. It's an amazing book because he has some pretty nasty stuff to say about the very people that are the globalists. But he tells you the truth. And he says that in the late 1800s, the industrialists got together. They decided who they wanted to be, the two candidates for the Republican and the Democrat Party, who would have the global agenda. And so the citizens go to the polls, and, when you pull the lever, you think you're getting what you want, Republican or Democrat, right? You're not getting who you want. You're getting who they want. So it doesn't make any difference who you vote for.
Nope.
And he's absolutely correct. I mean, if you question me, why don't you just go back through history? We haven't had a president that represented the Constitution of the United States since Calvin Coolidge.
I guess that's right.
I hate to
I'd give John Kennedy at least a half a vote.
Well, yeah, he's sort of close, but I had problems too with him, but he was the best. And I think that, you know, I don't blame the Americans for not figuring this one out, because I've been following it so closely for so long.
Charlotte, dear, how can they figure it out? They've been stripped of their intellectual capacity.
Well, they
the schools have taught them to be morons. They are literally now being culturally, genetically destroyed. So it's not their fault. I don't blame the American people.
No,
they've been
I
up
don't
against
either.
Technology that is unbelievable.
The most diabolical operation carried out on them through education and gradualism, of course. You know,
nobody knows better than you. Nobody.
You know, gradualism, the Hegelian dialectic, is so important.
Yeah.
And that is, it sounds complicated because he's got a nice German label, Hegel, but it's not. You know, it's simply, it's so brilliant. It's really diabolical, isn't it? Create the problem deliberately. They want something. You know, you want something. So in order to get it, you have to create the problem for the American people. It has to do with taxes or something. Maybe they got to reduce the taxes. And then people scream, and then they come in with their solution.
Pavlov's
and
dogs.
It'd be really rotten, and the American people will accept anything in order to get their taxes down. This is just one example of how the dialectic's used. And then they impose a solution, and everybody says, oh, thank you to the change agents who've just, you know, given them a totalitarian state. And, I mean, I know this one because of my funny story. You know my funny story? I mean, I didn't even know it. I don't blame people out there. They don't know what the dialectic is. I never knew myself. But I played it on my husband, and it succeeded, and I didn't know what I was doing. I did the laundry one day, and I put a red sweater in with his white shirts. It was a mistake, right? And so all his white shirts were pink.
I remember.
So then he said, you know, sort of nicely, he said, you know, I was busy. He said, I'm sorry, honey, but you know what? You don't have to do laundry anymore. And so my sons were there too, young, they were 8 and 10 years old. They said, yeah, Mom, don't you ever dare touch my laundry again. And so I thought, huh, that's nice. I don't ever have to do laundry again. Well, look. Say I didn't want to do laundry again. Isn't that the perfect way to get out of doing laundry?
Oh, absolutely. Do you do windows, Charlotte? That could be expensive, I guess, that too.
Yeah. Well, you mean breaking the glass. But, you know, I often use that because the American people, I don't blame them, they don't understand, oh, it's a German name, Hegel. And then they hear the word dialectic. I don't blame them. I didn't understand what it was. Until, you know, about 30 years ago, I guess. But why should we understand what that is? Well, everything is planned and managed according to the Hegelian dialectic. And think about it. You know, in your own town, when you're trying to get, you know, UN Agenda 2030 in, they'll create a big problem with traffic or with this or with that, huh? And so then they create the problem, the enemy. And then, of course, you get upset because you get caught in traffic, you can't get out, or maybe there aren't even any roads anymore. I don't know, because they don't want us to use cars. But anyway, so you get upset. And then they come in, and oh, isn't that nice, you know, that they're going to give you a solution. At that point, you'll take anyone, right? And then they impose a solution, and then you find out you've been had. They got what they wanted. Dictatorship or whatever. I mean, it's like the community-oriented policing system that I keep talking about that nobody understands what I'm talking about. But they are putting that system in now. And That's why they've had this huge hoopla going on down in Washington with the hearings. And I'm the worst offender. I have watched a lot of the hearings. My head is so screwed up by this time that, you know, really, I don't know. I feel sorry for both parties.
Yeah. How can the American public honestly be expected to?
They can't.
No.
They can't. I mean,
no.
If I don't understand
they're
it,
they're so tired
of
fake news,
all
lies,
long.
All the crap. It's just.
I mean, and so that you just hit the nail on the head. They're so fed up, or they don't understand. They haven't watched it, but they're fed up. This ones who don't watch it are smart. And but what will happen is we're all disgusted by it. We've had the Mueller investigation. Now we've had this going on, and we are going when because we don't know what form of government we have in the first place, right? Because we're so dumbed down. I have a feeling. This is just from Charlotte speaking, that we're going to be presented with, because they wanted to do this for a long time. The United States is one of the few countries in the world that doesn't have a parliamentary form of government, which doesn't allow really good representation. We have a representative form of government. And I think that they're used, again, here's the dialectic, right? They have created this problem where we have all these hearings that are driving us crazy, and we're fed up, and we don't know what our form of government is anyway. So they're going to come in and they're going to say, well, you know, the government has failed. And the American people will say, yeah, it sure has failed. I'm so sick and tired of our government, blah, blah, blah. They don't even know what the Constitution is. They don't know what our government is, right? Because it's so dumbed down. You know, so they're going to say, you know, we probably should go towards a parliamentary form of government. And that may well be what they're going to consider if they get their last whatever number of states for the Constitutional Convention.
Hong Kong.
And then we will have, because they can't have the United States, with which we have a constitutional representative form of government, they can't have, how can they operate their global system when they have this outlier, which is the most important country in the world? They can't. They have to suck us in. Now, this is just Charlotte talking. But I can't believe, you see, they can't do it without us.
No.
Most other countries have some form of parliamentary form of government. We're the only real, I mean, maybe there are one or two, maybe Fiji or something like that. We have a representative form of government, and it's the greatest form of government that ever existed. And our document, the Constitution, is the greatest document that ever was written, aside from the Bible. And, you know, so I'm putting this out there for your listeners to just think about it. Bone up on what a parliamentary form of government is, and then, you know, your listeners know what our form of government is, I think. Now, how are they going to run the global system with the United States as an outlier there, that has a different form of government? They can't, because it's all total quality management. It's international planning, programming, budgeting, management system, all the systems together with technology.
Mm-hmm.
How can they operate without the United States of America being part of the system, which is the governmental system, world governmental system? I don't think it can work, can it? How? With technology? How? Because we're really a foreign entity.
Correct. Well, we're rubbing into technology, which is cartwheeling toward us at just astonishing speed.
Absolutely. I mean, it can't work.
No.
If we're outside the system. I mean, I'm just looking ahead a little bit. And then we've got the police state being implemented with the unelected community-oriented policing system, which is pretty much moving in everywhere. And I want to make a point right here. I always have to talk about my good friends at Heritage, right? Heritage Foundation, the wonderful conservative group, they support the community-oriented policing system. Edwin Meese, he's very involved in that. You know, he was the one that kept Reagan from meeting with me, you know, way back in 1982 or whenever I got myself fired, and I wrote that letter. Edwin Meese was a counselor to Reagan, and I finally got the letter. It's on the internet, you know, patriots or Manchurian candidates. That's really an important thing for your listeners to go to. It's at my website too, but you can type it into Google. That's easier, really. Just patriots and Manchurian candidates. Take a look at that, and you're going to see what happened with my trying to get the information through to Reagan about the department and Edwin Meese's role and how the head of the National Institute of Education, the great educator, Edward Curran, they fired him because he wanted to get rid of his own department, his own office, the National Institute of Education, and a wonderful person. And that would have taken care of a lot of the problem that Reagan wasn't dealing with, which was getting rid of the department. NIE was the research function. And that's where all the values-destroying, country-destroying, globalist stuff came from, right out of that office. And he was the former head of the National Cathedral School for Girls, you know, a very apolitical educator who really knew what education was. And he came right out at the end when he finally had to resign because, I'll tell you, Ted Bell, who was a communist secretary of education under Reagan, that Ed Meese recommended to Reagan, right? Ed Meese, again, Heritage. Curran, when he recommended that his own office be abolished, Ted Bell, who was the Secretary of Education, the Commie Secretary of Education, recommended by Edwin Meese of the Heritage Foundation, Bell fired him. Fired Curran. And so, actually, had the NIE, National Institute of Education, been brought down as he recommended, he wanted to abolish his own job. He was a good educator. He knew that's where the commie crap was coming from. I'm sorry to use bad language. But anyway, Edward Curran took that stand. Bell, communist Terrell Bell from Utah, recommended by Edwin Meese of Heritage as our Secretary of Education, he just said to him, well, Curran said to him, Secretary Bell, I'm sorry, I don't believe education is a science. He was talking about Skinner, right?
Yeah.
It's not a science, because that's what they were putting in the early 80s when I was there. All operant conditioning, dog training, you know, no brain stuff going on. So he said, it's not a science. And then he wouldn't go along with Bell. And so Bell said, well, if that's the way you feel, you'll have to turn your papers in or, you know, resign by 5 o'clock this afternoon. So we lost Ed Curran. He was a great patriot, wonderful educator, et cetera. But what I'm trying to point out is the role of Reagan, the Republicans, all the neoconservative enemy, which are the same.
Yeah,
they work together. The left and the right, they work together, we know that. And the American people, I don't blame them. I mean, how can anything be more convoluted than what I'm trying to tell everybody tonight? Huh? You know, I mean, if I were an average American...
It is convoluted, but it's a straight line.
Yeah,
it may sound convoluted, but it's a straight line. It's clear.
It is. And, you know, if you took... I often say... to, you know, really good researchers, there are a few left, and patriots, you know, we ought to just take a great big board, you know, those white boards you can take a color.
Yeah, whiteboard.
You know, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Call the whiteboard.
And, because people can't read anymore, really, and you do arrows, and you make connections with different colors, and, you know, it's all in the middle, it's the global police state, right?
And you have to show them with pictures arrows. Like that. You got to show them with pictures.
Well,
then they understand.
Absolutely.
Symbols.
And
yeah.
So much fun. I'm really, it should have been done ages ago, but sometimes the longer you wait, the better, because people have to be ready for it. They have to be dumbed down enough so that the only thing that they can understand is a picture. And that
it's
has
true.
To be done for them to see where all this came from,
yeah.
You know, with a timeline, who was involved. They're going to see absolutely where the origins are of this, going way back in history, and then all the arrows to who was involved, all the wars, who was involved, the goal, and there's so many associations involved that, you know, woo, and then you can sometimes sneak some really nasty ones in there without people really getting after you because the chart is quite complicated, and maybe they won't understand acronyms, huh? But that is it. We are going down, and I think right now, you know, they needed some time to fine-tune it, and they're getting it with these investigations, which are going nowhere.
Well, of course, they're chasing their tails. It's a joke.
Well, I'm sick and tired of chasing a tail. It's taken a lot of my time, but I thought I would just would...
Well, I think
there are a lot of sincere people involved in it, you know, who are testifying, and a lot of reputations are being ruined. Of course, that's nice, isn't it? And I am
It's a bloodletting. Yeah. I don't know, honestly. I'm not watching it like you are. I can't tell where it's going to end up exactly. There are several possibilities. Pelosi could say, well, we've had our inquiry and we didn't come up with enough to push forward and we did our constitutional job. And that's one possibility. That's one. There are several others.
I don't know either. I mean, if he were impeached, that doesn't even mean that he wouldn't be president.
No. It's just going to just more time, more time. Time.
More time for them to continue up on the 135th floor. They're just sitting there up there and, you know, smoking their cigars and they're laughing at us.
Oh.
And they're saying, oh boy, we never had an opportunity
like this.
Can
you imagine looking out their window down at the masses?
Oh, yeah,
sneering.
Down on Fifth Avenue, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody going, having their, you know, going for lunch and doing their shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue.
Was it Fifth? I guess it was Fifth. Anyway, one of those. My mother took me back for a visit. I've never been in New York before, and I stayed in a hotel on, I don't know, what Park Avenue maybe it was, one of those. And I watched in the morning, and I'm not kidding you, the buildings are so big, and they reminded me of hamster cages with little rooms for the hamsters. And they'd all start scurrying out.
Six or seven in the
morning, and they'd scurry across the streets, and the taxis would take some of them away, and then they'd scurry this way, and at the end of the day, they'd all scurry back to their buildings and back to their cages. It was really bizarre. Anyhow,
well,
that's New York.
You're brilliant. That's the way you see it. I was a little girl, and my grandparents were living in New York City, and I'd go in, and I'd look down on Fifth Avenue, and, you know, if it was raining... the taxis and all, and I remember this so well. It's really beautiful. You know, you'd see the raindrops on Fifth Avenue and the taxis honking, and then Central Park was right next to it. And I just remember New York from when
back when New York was still a city.
Then my grandmother took me to Best and Company. You know, she was, originally from Australia, and the family left Australia and went to South Africa. They were 12 children. They went on a sailing ship, and they had no money, and they got to South Africa. And then one of them met my grandfather in Johannesburg somehow. We'll never know how. And anyway, that ended up because he was a mining engineer, so she marries him, and so there's a bit of money there. They were so poverty-stricken in Australia, she never got over it. But she was living there in New York City in this lovely apartment that overlooked Fifth Avenue. But, you know, she would take me she would never write a check. She was very suspicious of the banking system. And so she would take me shopping and always buy me a nice suit at Best & Company or something and pay everything with cash. Boy, was she suspicious of the banks.
Well,
she's
I guess.
Smart.
All right, well, we have to take a break. Hold on. But now the fun thing is you can still wear the same clothes. And I hope you have some
of those clothes. You know what? I can't gain weight. Maybe you should advertise me on your show. Ask Charlotte how to lose. I don't know
funny.
That they want to lose it the way I lost it.
Oh, no. All right. Hold on, my dear. We'll be right back. And we are back with Charlotte in Maine. All right, we are talking about a number of things. I don't know if you're going to, I don't know if you should expose yourself much more to watching this drivel. But it's good to hear that someone with a brain has been able to synthesize the obvious, that it is pure garbage, pure disinformation, pure misdirection and distraction. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking up the news cycles. Although there are other news cycles going on around them, under them, behind them all the time, but they come and go. It used to be a week, now it's a couple hours, and they're gone. Just gone. Anyhow, good job. Good job.
Yeah, well, you know, what we're looking at here, and I want to, best thing to do, because there's so much research out there which proves that this is the agenda that was decided on by the industrialists, basically in the late 1800s, for global government. We're seeing it going in right now. And for people to have all the proof, you know, of what I'm talking about, they can get it at my website, which is deliberatedumbingdown.com. My latest article is on the community-oriented policing system that's going in right now, and I know that system well, and I lived through it, you know, Jeff, with the, certainly with the both murder attempts on my son.
Oh, yeah, horrible.
I could speak as somebody who knows what the cop system is. Mm-hmm. And that's going in all across the country, and it is supported by the Heritage Foundation, and it is a public-private partnership, again, where the police are going to be running our cities, and they are unelected, and they will be arbitrarily making decisions about you and your families. And it's called a community-oriented policing system, and they like to make it sound really nice, like giving, you know, going and giving hot chocolate to old ladies and cookies to children. But no, it's very dangerous, because ultimately it is more important to me than any other issue. When I say this, please believe me, I'm very concerned about abortion, euthanasia, gun controls, and everything else. But once the community-oriented policing system is in, Americans won't be, that's why I put it number one to focus on. And there is my latest article at my blog deals with community education and the COPS program. And there's a lot of excellent research there. Unbelievable report on community ed done by Ruth Feld from Wisconsin way back in the 70s. All sorts of research links you can click on. And then there is the Detective Wirtz, who is a wonderful patriotic detective in San Diego, who wrote an article explaining what the community-oriented policing system is. It's basically the East German Stasi, which was considered the most brutal police state operation in the world has ever known. And that is what we're looking at. Now, the reason I say I know this is that my son's case, Sam's case, the community-oriented policing system immediately, they must have gotten the word from the police chief, about a week or two before, they had it all cooked up. They were going to say that Sam shot himself in the leg. Well, the community-oriented policing system told that lie on the internet, which really they could be sued for, right? And then 2 weeks later, an excellent report from the Portland Police Department, which happened to be superb police officers, detective who was on site that night. He was in charge of the crime scene. He wrote, he gathered all the eyewitness reports and everything into the superb report. Well, they came out 2 weeks after the cops one I'm telling you about, which is the police state, right?
Yeah.
They came out, this is the community-oriented policing system versus the traditional Portland Police Department, which is a little confusing for people because the police chief himself was in charge of the murder attempts, but I don't think he was really watching what his own police department was putting together in the report. And the report was that Sam was victim of elevated aggravated assault and that Fred Dodge was a suspect and had all the... So it was what I'm trying to say, it was a very, very good report, the truth. Came out 2 weeks after this communist-oriented... Wait, let's call it that, right? Just thought
sure.
about that.
Sure.
Communist-oriented policing system.
Sure.
Of course, why haven't I done that before, huh? Well,
oh,
yes.
This time.
So, Sam, we've lived through the lie. And then what happened is a couple of years after, we kept fighting and fighting, our Sam's lawyer wants to talk to the community-oriented policing system guy. The
communist-oriented policing system guy.
And, yes, communist-oriented policing. So our lawyer wants to talk to him, Mr. Argyris.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, we get a letter from the communist police chief who planned both murders, right, we think. Who's now Maine's Commissioner of Public Safety. Okay. All right. We got a letter from the attorney for the police chief. She's a good woman. She's been there about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that the patrolman in the communist-oriented policing system has informed this 30-year or 25-year veteran attorney for the police department that he refuses to speak to the Iserbeats attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if that doesn't tell you something, listener out there, who's running the show? The unelected communist-oriented policing system in Portland, Maine, at least, is running the show.
I'm
warning people.
Yeah. Somebody told me something. This is a real interesting little aside. That when you were a kid and you saw a police officer, you thought of someone who was there to protect you.
Friend.
Someone to help. Now when you see a cop in your rearview mirror, a car, or on the street.
Oh, heaven.
All right, it's the antithesis of those feelings.
Yep.
That means you are living in a communist-oriented police state.
It's
the
really
cop
scary.
Is now the enemy. Okay.
You know what it reminds me of? At one point, we had a Soviet defector visiting us in Maine, and I had to go pick him up at the airport. And it was Igor Glaglov. People can look him up. He was quite important. He was high up in the Soviet government one time, and a defector. And so he gets in our little car. It was a little Saab, and we had a radar detector, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's looking at this thing. He talks. He's Russian accent. You know, he says, "What is that? What is that? That is interesting." And I said, well, it's, you know, we used to have radar detectors. Nobody has them anymore. I said, well, that's so that we know when the police are coming after us on the highway. And he said, oh, we should have that in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was so funny. But, you know, when I look back, mm-hmm. we don't have them anymore, do we?
I haven't seen a radar detector in a long time.
Well, why did we decide not to have them?
They use something different.
They're illegal now.
It's a different technology. It's called LIDAR or something. I think they're using laser beams, and the radar detectors don't think they pick them up. I'm guessing, but I think that's correct.
So how can we know if they're coming after us?
I don't know that they have. They must have just technology for everything. I don't know if they're mass marketing it, though.
But, you know, you're right. I mean, we don't. I have the same feeling, and yet, you know, I still talk about the good police that we had in Portland because they saved my life. I mean, Sam was really almost dead, but as far as my emotional, psychological state, without them, uh-huh. right after the murder attempt, right, without the good police who told me the story, exactly what happened on scene.
Told you the truth, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't have survived, and I really couldn't have. I mean, I never would have gotten the truth out of the mouths of the police who were there.
I went through a lot of that with you from a distance, but I heard it all. I heard
the
horror.
Story, and
I heard it all,
it was just
shameful beyond
amazing
words.
Amazing that this one officer decided to tell me he was there. He said, look, everything because he talked to the witnesses, and he mm-hmm. said every single witness corroborated what Sam said. They saw it. They saw the guy coming down the street with a gun threatening to murder Sam. You know, so he tells me that 2 days after, and that made the whole... Well, it was nothing's been happy since then, but I would have been, if I had not known that, it would have been a heck of a lot harder for me. I always thought back, there was never a day when I didn't think about the two or three or four detectives who were with us all along.
No, you told me so much about those people, and it's amazing that you were able to find, or lucky, blessed to find, some good ones. Just
oh yes,
lucky.
Yeah.
Fortunate.
I can't believe that the country doesn't have them still. I mean, I believe
department has some good ones.
Oh yeah,
every department, the people in the department know who the nuts are and who the crazies are and who shouldn't be carrying guns. They know.
That's right. No. And it's really it's rough on these good ones.
Yeah.
And
Teachers, though. Charlotte, it's like
same
teachers.
Same with teachers.
The good teachers are going. They're quitting. They're retiring. They're getting old. They're out. And the same thing's going to happen with the police. The good ones are going to go.
I think they're sort of waiting. The good ones are the older ones, basically. Certainly there may be. I don't know how that you can get the young ones. How they can get through this rotten police academy, right? FBI run. The police academy, how can they get through it without being completely brainwashed for globalism? I mean, when you realize what Louis Freeh did, right, in 1994, the head of the FBI, he was over there in Moscow embracing the head of the KGB. We are partners now. Of course, they use the drug thing. You know, and narcotics and everything. That was the reason we merged with the Soviets. Right. Ha ha. People say, oh, they're dead. The Soviet used it. Oh, yeah, big time dead. Huh? Okay, we're merging. And he embraces the guy. I mean, it's on TV. You can find that.
Right now,
it's
right in our faces. When I was beginning to see things like that, I just knew it was, if that's what we're seeing, oh, my God, what we're not seeing. So there.
Oh, can you imagine? Thank you, Ronald Reagan. No, first of all, Dwight Eisenhower, who was the first one, 1958, with Khrushchev, signed the first extensive agreement with the Soviet Union. And then that was followed up.
Eisenhower was a communist.
Absolutely.
Look, come on. He hated the Germans. He was a Bolshevik. Anyway.
That's right. And, you know, I think the Birch
he killed
Society...
He had Patton killed. We know that.
Yep.
Patton
yep.
knew. Patton figured it out. He said, we fought the wrong enemy. He knew.
Yep, absolutely. And yep, it's right. And, you know, but here we are, your audience, we can just, here we are, it's preaching to the, you know, the choir.
A great choir to preach to, and they don't mind at all, so don't worry about it.
I know they're all out there trying to get the information out. I want them to definitely go to my website, because there's so much there. The gal who runs the website, she runs about 12 of them up in New Hampshire. She said that it's getting, I'm not on Facebook, but she said that, she said, this is good, Charlotte. She says, every time you do something, you get about 800 hits. And I guess that's, she says, that's good.
Serious.
And, you know, so people are going in there and reading things like the community-oriented police. I think that's probably the most important thing to get out. This is other people's research. It's the Feld and Detective Wirtz articles. Mm-hmm. And the Feld article is on community education. And community education is all the services in your community, medical, psychiatric, take grandma to see the leaves in the autumn, will be under the umbrella of the unelected school board, and that is lifelong. And there's this incredible report done by our researchers back in the 70s that I have included verbatim, the history of community education. And I hope your listeners will go there and read that. And it's all documented with research, et cetera. It's fabulous. I've always known it was one of the finest reports ever produced to tell Americans what is going to happen. We'll be living in a total police state lifelong. Then you have the Detective Wirtz article in this is that one post I wrote. It's called Community Policing, Community Education. It's the last one. Go to articles. Click on articles, and then you'll see that article. And click on all the links, and then the article by Detective Wirtz, wonderful, again, detective in San Diego, who was in on the ground floor with the community-oriented policing system. And there are some marvelous quotes in there, but there's one that just blew my mind, a Professor Trojanowicz, who was the sort of founder, or whatever you want to call him, of the community-oriented policing system about 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he says, we've read a lot of this before, but this is coming out of the developer of the community-oriented policing system in this country that's going in right now, and I just talked to all of you about it, how the unelected policeman was able to lie about what happened to Sam. And that's going to be all over the country, lies. You won't be able to go discuss anything that you may object to. And you probably end up, if you're lucky, in jail. That's all. And maybe worse. Hmm? Because they won't lie. You won't be allowed to oppose anything. If that doesn't scare you, nothing else will. So read Wirtz's article there, this brave detective. And Reed Trojanowicz, who was the founder, he's a real communist, and he's talking about how important it is to get rid of the influence of the family. That's the purpose of the COPS program, and to control the community.
And don't forget about Yuri Bezmenov at YouTube.
Absolutely. So... please go there. That's the only way I can have you go directly to what I talk about all the time. You know, a lot of other articles, too, like on Heritage, their whole communist agenda, the so-called, you know, that's there. Just type that in, too. Heritage Foundation, communist.
Yeah.
You know, and people think it's a wonderful conservative organization, right? It's tragic, you know, because they're anti-abortion. Andy, you said it there. Andy, the things that all of us are opposed to, right? They have a couple of good points there. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And so they suck you in. But don't look in the underbelly. We're going to find they drafted NAFTA. They support the community-oriented policing system. They wrote the first socialized medicine thing. They support regional government. And they supported Reagan's agreement with the Soviet Union. And I think other things, too. But that's pretty good. I think I've covered it. And they support the COPS program. That's Edward Meese, see? The COPS program.
DeliberateDumbingDown.com. Just don't forget it.
DeliberateDumbingDown.com. Yes, please go there. It's so well arranged now. The website's super. It's just so good. And I could give, you know, Jane Aiken, who runs the website. She's absolutely brilliant. Oh, she's a 35-year public school teacher.
Yeah.
Who went through all the stuff, and they tried to brainwash her. Boy, was she gutsy. She went up against them and fought them like mad. And now she's, you know, all involved in technology and people's websites. And she's the one that has put together, you know, really restructured my website. And it's fabulous. I had nothing to do with it because I'm a moron when it comes to things like, I'm pretty bad on technology. That kind of thing. I understand the goals of technology, and I know how dangerous it is. That's why I leaked the document, right, in the Department of Ed. But yeah. I'm no good when it comes to web design and all this, and what buttons do you push, and she just moves stuff all over the place, and, you know.
It takes a certain kind of ability, which I don't have either.
No. Well, we're too talented in our artistic ways, right?
How are you doing? How's your hip? Good?
It really is, and I do my two exercises that are very simple, and I don't have to use... I can walk, I can drive. I do have to take pain pills still, you know. But I guess... But
don't throw any out. You know, if you need them, take them. It's okay. Don't be a hero.
They're just Tylenol.
Don't suffer. I understand. I got it.
Yeah, that's all. So anyway... I just am happy always to talk to your buddies out there, your listeners, and it's a lot easier to know what's going on. I feel sorry for all those dumbed down people. Not your listeners know what's going on, right? I feel sorry for those dumbed down people. This is going to hit them like mad when they realize.
They will never catch up. Charlotte, they've been left behind.
No, but they're going to wonder. They're going to say, "Oh, I don't like this. I don't like being in jail
They'll know discomfort.
To a cops meeting, and I object to the fact they euthanized my grandmother, you know, or something. And then, no, you can't say that in jail or dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to wait until that happens. Oh, come on, that woman that Rents has on, she is such a kook.
You're anything but a kook. Come on. I got an email from somebody already just this, right away. Charlotte is exactly correct. People love you, so don't forget that. Huh? Don't.
Well, then they love kooks.
There's nothing wrong with a brilliant kook. All right.
Well,
you be well,
you know
my
what?
Dear. Huh?
You too. Huh? It's always good to talk to you. I'm sorry I monopolized the conversation so much tonight. I'm awfully talkative tonight.
You are. Chatty Cathy, I like it. Fun.
Well, you're tired. I took some weight off your fatigue.
You carried me on your back, like you always do.
I did do that. Well, goodbye, everybody, and God bless America, and God bless all of you, and all we can do is... Luckily, we know. You know, it's always better to know when they're taking you to the
better
execution.
Better to know, right? Yep.
Better to know... Yeah, good. So we've got all the goods on him.
Yep. Yep.
God bless you all.
Good night, dear.
Okay. Bye bye.
All righty. Charlotte Thompson Iserbeat, the one and only. All right. Back with more in just a few.